Friends in Christ, happy Easter. You know, we've just celebrated the octave of Easter, these 8 days after Easter. And so as Catholics, we are blessed that we have an entire Easter season. And so it's very true that we can say to each other, He is risen and He is risen indeed. Amen. Alleluia. In today's gospel, these are the very last words of the Gospel of John. And I'm reminded every time I read this, when Thomas, after he puts his hands into the nail marks of Jesus and into his side, he says those words, "My Lord and my God." When I was a little kid, when I received my first Holy Communion, my mom, I think this was rather common at least, my mom taught me that whenever the priest raises the host in Mass, we're supposed to say in our heart, "My Lord and my God." Right? And so that's been a common practice for many years, and my thoughts go to our first communicants. Yesterday, our second graders received their first Holy Communion, and I see at least a few of you here today again. I saw many last night as well. Today, you're going to be able to make your second Holy Communion, right? And so, friends, let's pray for our second graders, our first communicants. But let's also pray that we may also have that same zeal and devotion, that same love and that same wonder and awe and excitement that they have, that they had yesterday and that they have again today to receive our Lord. So let's ask our Lord for that grace to be childlike once again so that we may receive Holy Communion with great love in our hearts. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. It's the second Sunday of Easter. It's the octave day of Easter. It's the eighth day. Remember, the eighth day is the day that Jesus rises from the dead, right? It's the first day of the week. And so the octave day of Easter, the eighth day, we call Divine Mercy Sunday. John Paul II gave it this name because John Paul II was a pope that was very strong, and very, he loved to preach about the mercy of Jesus. And in today's gospel, we are given this very beautiful gospel. And I want to focus on the first part of the gospel, because the first part of the gospel is the evening of Easter Sunday. Okay? It's the evening of Easter Sunday. And I want to draw your attention to four details. Four details in today's gospel. The first is that the doors are locked. The doors are locked. Where are the apostles? The evening of Easter Sunday, where do they go? They go to the upper room, the gospel tells us. Now, what takes place? Whatever happened in the upper room? The upper room is the place where the Last Supper, 3 days before, where Jesus gave his apostles two gifts. The gift of the Eucharist, and the gift of the priesthood. It's in that same upper room that 50 days later, 50 days after Easter, 43 days after today, will be Pentecost. Where are the apostles? They're also in that upper room where they receive the Holy Spirit as tongues of fire. And so it's very significant that the apostles are in this place, the upper room where they have received the gifts of the Eucharist, the gift of the priesthood, where they will receive the gift of confirmation. And it's significant that we are told that the doors are locked. We're told in the gospel that they are in the upper room out of fear of the Jews, that they've just crucified their Lord and Savior, and so they go out of fear, they are in hiding with the doors locked. Now, just one little detail. It says that even though the doors were locked, Jesus appears to them. You see? So Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the risen Lord, obviously his body is able to walk through walls. His body is glorious. Yes, it is his body. It is Jesus, flesh and blood. But it's different. His body is glorious, is glorified. And so it also tells us that when we rise from the dead, that when our bodies rise from the grave and are made glorious, yes, they're going to be our bodies, but they're going to be different. And theologians speculate that we may be able to walk through walls, if there's kind of walls in heaven, right? We don't know, okay? I don't know, never been there, right? But this, we will receive a glorified body that will be different and made new. And so the detail that the doors are locked is very significant, because Jesus, even though the doors are locked, he enters into the room where the apostles are. And so that tells us that Jesus can even enter the locked doors of our hearts. That as much as we want to keep Jesus sometimes, like if we want to keep him at arm's length, at a safe distance, if we want to push Jesus to the side of our life, he is still able to enter into our hearts. He's still able, and he still wants to approach us, and he wants to be where we are. The second detail is what Jesus says to the apostles. He says, "Peace be with you." These are the first words that Jesus says to his apostles after his resurrection from the dead. What's the last thing that they heard the Lord say? The last thing they heard the Lord say, the last thing that St. John heard the Lord say as he's hanging on the cross is, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And I thirst. And it is finished." And so it's very significant that the first thing that they hear Jesus say after his resurrection, "Peace be with you." But when Jesus speaks of peace, he means much more than what we mean when we think of peace. When we think of peace, we think of like an absence of conflict or disagreement. But the peace that Jesus gives is much more than this. By peace means, Jesus means he wants to bring us the gift of redemption. He wants to bring us the forgiveness of our sins. He wants to set us in right relationship with God. Friends, is it not true that we all have a deep desire? We all have a deep desire, no matter what's going on in our lives. We all have a deep desire for peace. We want to have peace in our hearts, peace in our souls. And what is this peace? True peace, the peace that Jesus can give to us, is the serenity of knowing that I'm right with God. That's where peace comes from. Knowing that I'm right with God and that God is my loving Father. This is the peace that it doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from the government or a politician. It doesn't come from anyone else around us. This peace can only be given by God. He alone can give us that peace that our soul desires. And so when Jesus says to the apostles, "Peace be with you," he wants to drive out all fear. And he wants to establish peace in our hearts, that peace that only he can give, that peace that comes from knowing that my sins are forgiven. The third detail. The gospel says that Jesus shows them his hands and his side. Jesus shows them, the first thing that he does is he shows them, he says, "Look, here's the nail marks in my hands. Look, here's the lance. This is where the soldier pierced my side." And he does so to say, "Guys, this is really me. This is really Jesus. It's not just an apparition. It's not just a vision. But it is really me. I am the one who has risen from the dead. The same Jesus who dies on the cross is the Jesus who has conquered death and risen to life. And so Jesus shows them, he shows us his wounds so that we would not be afraid to show him our wounds. It's kind of like whenever we go to the doctor, right? We don't go to the doctor and we say, "Doctor, I'm sick, heal me." But you're going to have to guess what I need healed for. You're going to have to guess. No, we have to show the doctor our wounds. We have to say, "Doctor, I want you to heal me, and this is what I need healed from. These are my wounds." And so we do the same with our Lord when we bring our sins to him. "Lord, heal me. You alone can heal me. You alone can give me peace. And so here are my wounds. Here's what I need healed from. Here's my sins." And the fourth detail. Jesus says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The first thing that Jesus does after he rises from the dead, what's the first thing he does? He doesn't celebrate Mass. He doesn't teach them the scriptures. The first thing that Jesus does after he rises from the dead is he gives them the gift of confession. He gives his apostles the ability to forgive sins. He says, "The sins you forgive are forgiven. The sins that you don't forgive are not forgiven." And he gives us this great gift of his mercy. John Paul II had a great love for this Sunday and for this gospel reading of St. John's Gospel. And this is what St. John Paul II says. He says, "Jesus entrusted to them the gift of forgiving sins, a gift that flows from the wounds of his hands, his feet, and especially his pierced side." Then he says, "From there, a wave of mercy is poured out over all humanity." Friends, isn't this the gift of Easter? Isn't this why we celebrate Easter? Yes, we celebrate Easter as a historical fact, as something that, an event that happened 2,000 years ago. Yes, Jesus truly did rise from the dead. But friends, we celebrate Easter because it's only because Jesus rose from the dead that we can be forgiven. And 2,000 years later, Jesus is still, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now he continues to pour his mercy upon us in the sacraments and especially in the confessional. It's there that our sins are washed away in the ocean of God's mercy. Our sins, friends, are like a drop in the water of the ocean of God's mercy. Our sins are consumed. They disappear. This is where true peace is found. If we want peace in our lives, we all do. If we want peace in our lives, it's only found when we have been forgiven, when we have received God's mercy, when we hear those words, "I absolve you from your sins." The beautiful truth of divine mercy is that God does not give up on us. God does not give up on us. If you go all the way back to Genesis, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't say, "Well, sorry, game over," right? He didn't say, "Sorry, snooze, you lose, better luck next time." No. What does God do? As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, if you go back to Genesis 3:15, God says to Adam and Eve, he says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers." And then God says, He, Jesus Christ, he's talking to the devil, "He will strike your head, and you will strike at his heel." All the way back in Genesis 3:15, as soon as Adam and Eve sin, he promises, "I will not leave you alone. I will send you a Savior." I will give you a way back to me. That's the truth, and that's the beauty of divine mercy. There's always a way back to God. No matter what our history has been, no matter what sins we've committed, there's a way back to be in right relationship with God. God does not leave us to our own devices. He refuses to leave us fallen. He gives us grace to come back to Him. And it's there when we have received the forgiveness of our sins, when we have received His mercy, it's there that true peace, the peace of Easter, can be found. May it be so. Amen.